13th chapter of Hilchas Gzeila Vaveda, the law of stolen or lost objects. This chapter contains 20 halachas with many practical laws regarding what to do upon finding a lost object and how to go about returning it. There are many practical laws discussed in this chapter, and it should be mentioned that in order to know exactly what to do, the Shulchan Aruch should be consulted. Perek Shleisha Aser, the 13th chapter, Halacha Aleph. Someone that finds a lost object that he is required by law to return. As we have discussed in the previous chapters, when a person is required to return the object, and when he is not, such as in the case as when the owners have lost hope, there has been yiyush, they have lost hope of getting the object back. But in a case where they are required to return it, chayev lahachriz aleh, one is required to make an announcement regarding this object, ulahidia, and to notify people of it, v'leimar, and to say, misha ovei leimin ploini, someone that lost a certain type of thing, yavei v'yitin simonim v'yito, let him come, give signs that it is his object, to identify the object, and then he can take it. The Rambam will discuss in the next halacha different examples of min plaini, how much you can tell in order to describe the object, and how much of a description the person claiming the object must give in order to merit the object. And even if it was worth a pruta at the time it was found, and vahuzla, and it became decreased in value, that it is no longer worth a pruta, chayev lahachriz aleha, one is required to make an announcement regarding its return. Although less than a sheva pruta, which is the smallest negotiable amount of currency, the amount of currency with which one can buy an object, even though less than that, one does not have the requirement to return. Nevertheless, if originally it was worth a pruta, and now it has decreased in value, one is required to return it. And there was a lost and found, a large stone outside Yerushalayim, that on this stone they would make their announcements. It was like a regular lost and found. People would come there to announce that they had found objects, and anyone that had lost an object could come there, listen to the announcement, and then give recognizable signs regarding the object, and then reclaim the object. Halacha base, Ketzad Machris, how do you make the announcement that you have found that you have found an object? Im Motza Moos, if a person found money, Machris Misha Ovid Le Matbeya, let him make an announcement, anyone that lost a coin or coins or money. He doesn't say what kind of coin it is, there are many types of coins. Then the one that was coming to identify it, we'll have to say what kind of money and how much money and so on. The Kain Machris Misha Ovid Leksus, anyone that lost a garment, or a behema or an animal, a shtoris or documents, Yoba V'yitin Simon V'yito, let him come and give signs regarding the object, and then let him take it. And in any of these cases, he will have to identify the kind of garment and details regarding it, what kind of animal and its details, and what kind of documents and so on, as the Rambam will explain in the next few halachas. One does not have to worry that he gave away the secret by notifying what type of thing was lost. Naturally, we are worried that someone will hear there is a lost object and claim it for themselves. Perhaps, once we tell them what kind of object it is, they will guess and then reclaim the object, although it doesn't belong to them. We do not worry about such an eventuality. Because we do not return it until the person gives clear, identifiable signs. Since he anyway is responsible for clearly identifying the object, we do not worry that someone that is not the owner will be capable of doing so. To clarify the following laws, we should give the introduction which the Magid Mishnah gives about various simonim, what is considered to be a sufficient sign. There are three different levels of signs. One of them is the highest level is a clearly identifiable, unmistakable sign. For example, there would be a document, and one would say that there is a hole in the document next to a certain letter of a certain word on a certain line. It is an unmistakable sign because certainly no other document would have such a mark. This is the highest level. The lowest level is one which is really no identifying mark at all. One says, for example, after hearing that that a garment was lost, one says it was a red garment, or it was a black garment, or something of the sort. This is not an identifiable mark, because so many different sorts of objects have the same trait. The intermediate level is when a person gives a sign of how many of the object there were, or what size it was, or how much it weighs, or something of the sort. This is the intermediate level. The lowest of the three is generally unacceptable in halacha, as far as anything is concerned. And the highest level is, in general, accepted as far as anything is concerned. The question is this intermediate level. And the Gemara discusses whether such a sign is a good midiraisa, or only midirabanan in the case of lost objects. And there is a difference between these laws and the laws of aguna. In order to identify a person, for example, in order to allow his wife to remarry, and so on. In any case, when the Rambam uses the term simanim muvakin, we will see from the following laws, that the Rambam is referring to this intermediate level. The highest level are certainly simanim muvakin, and sometimes in halacha, when this term is used, it is referring to this highest level. But here, we will see that the Rambam is referring to the middle level. Halacha gimel. Along came the claimed owner of this lost objects and gave signs which are not muvakim, which, as we shall see, are the lowest of the three level. Meaning, he only says the color of the object or something similar. We do not return the object to him unless he is able to give simonim muvakim, clearly identifiable signs. A person that is suspected of being dishonest and of somehow having found out these signs, even though he does say the proper signs, the proper identifiable signs, until he can bring witnesses that this object is his, that since he is Ramai, he is suspected, even when in the case where there are signs, clearly identifiable signs, we still do not believe him unless he has witnesses. And as the Shach explains in Shulchan Aruch, and many of the commentaries here on the Rambam explain, that the Rambam holds even if he should give the highest level of the three signs, nevertheless, we do not return it to a suspected person unless he brings witnesses. How do we know that one does not return it to such a person unless he gives, unless he brings witnesses? After all, we said that according to Torah law, these signs are sufficient to be recognizable. However, the Rambam will bring a proof from the Chumash itself that we do not believe a person in such a case. Because Omru Chachamim, our sages, interpreted the following verse in Dvarim Chav Beis, Pasuk Beis, V'hoya Imcha, that the lost object should be with you in your possession, which literally means until your brother should inquire regarding it. You hold on to it until somebody comes and asks for it. However, our sages interpreted it to have another meaning. Until you inquire regarding your brother. Not only is until your brother inquires about the object, but until you inquire about him. Until you investigate him, whether he is dishonest or not. Is he trying to trick you or is he not? And until you determine that he is not, you do not give him the object. And this is only when you have proper testimony that it is actually his. Halacha Dalit. Varishena. Originally, Kol Misha Ovid Le'aveda. Anyone that lost an object, Ubo V'Nosen Simoneha, and he came and gave the signs, identifiable signs, Machzirin Eisaloi. Elim Kain Huchzak Ramai. We return the object to him unless it has been proven or there is reasonable evidence to assume that this person is dishonest. However, Misha Rabu Haramoin, when there came so many people who were dishonest and the amount increased, Hiskino Bezdin, the Jewish court determined and made an established law, Sheyehu Aimrin Lei Havei Eidim She'ena Taramai Vatul. They established that we tell a person coming to take an object, then he must bring witnesses that he is not lying, and only then can he take the object. The onus is on him, not only to prove, to give signs of the object, but he must bring proofs either upon himself or on the object itself. That by bringing witnesses that it is his object, he does not have to rely. We do not have to rely on his testimony alone. We have clear proof that it is his, and only then do we return the object to him. Halacha hei, hasimanim amuvakim, any clear sign, seimchin aleihem, we rely on these signs, v'danin al pihem b'chol mokum din teda, and we judge according to these signs any place by Torah law. This is referring, as the Rambam we will see from the Rambam, that this is referring to the intermediate of the, even the intermediate of the three levels. There is a disagreement in the Gemara between Rav Ashi and Rava whether these signs are considered to be good by Torah law or only by rabbinic decree. And the Rambam paskins like Rav Ashi that it's good by Torah law. Which are these signs? Ba'amida, Oya Mishkel, Oya Minyan. The measurement of the object, or its weight, or the number of objects, or where it was lost, these are all called clear signs by which one returns the object according to Torah law. This is, of course, until the takana was enacted, as we discussed in Halacha Dalet. Halacha Vav. Boshnayim, two people came. Zen nosen simonei haveda, v'zen nosen simoneha k'meishen nosen ha'acher. One person gave signs of the lost object, sufficient signs to have the object returned to him. And then the other one also gave signs exactly the same as the first person. So who do we believe over here? Do we believe the one that came first? So the halacha is, le'yitein le'lozeh v'le'lozeh. We don't give to either one of them. Elatiyah monachas asheyeda ha'echad l'chaveda. We let the lost object sit until one of the parties agrees to its friend and admits that it is his object, and only then do we give the object back to its owner. Or one can make a compromise between them that they shall split the value of the object or something of the sort. Let's say nosana echod esatzimonim basheni hevi edim. Let's say one person brought clearly identifiable signs of the object, but the second one brought witnesses that it's his object. Which one takes precedence? Yitin labal ha edim. We give it to the one who has witnesses, since witnesses are always better than signs. Zen nosen simonim, v'zen nosen simonim ve'ed echad. Let's say one person gave signs of the object, and the other one also gave identifiable signs of the object, as we discussed in the beginning of the halacha. However, the other one, in addition to the signs, has ve'ed echad. He has one witness with him. That in general, one witness has no standing in Jewish law. However, over here, both of them have simonim anyway. Do we count this extra witness and give the object to him? The Rambam says no. This witness who is testifying, it is as if he doesn't exist. But yaniach, when we let the lost object sit in its place, and do not give it to either of the parties. Rather, we go back to the law at the beginning of the lacha. We wait until one admits to the other, or they make a compromise. The following halacha deals in a case when the finder brings evidence or gives a sign which is comparable to the other one who claims the object. Both of them are not identical, but are on the same general level of reliability. Halacha Zayin. Matza simla ukiyetzaba. They found a lost object, a garment, or something similar. One person brings witnesses that it was woven for him. And another one brings witnesses that he dropped it, that it was his and it was dropped. Over here we have one set of witnesses against another set of witnesses. Who do we believe? We give it to the one who has witnesses that the object fell. Because even though we can believe both sets of witnesses here, one set of witnesses testifies that he had it sewn for him. So they could be right. And then he could have sold it to the second one. And the second set of witnesses are also right that it fell from him. Therefore we believe the second set. Zen nosen midas arka, v'zen nosen midas rochba. One gave the length of the garment, another one gave the width of the garment. Either length or width are both in the second intermediate level of simonim muvakim, as we mentioned in Halacha Hei. Although it doesn't say there specifically these, the Magid Mishnah brings down that it is in the same category, but either Arka or Rachba, and one person gives the length and another gives the width. Yitin l'misha nosim midas Arka. We give it to the one that told us the length. Why? She'efshe yeshayar haramai midas Rachba. Kishahoye bailea miskasiba. It is possible that a tricky person, someone that is dishonest, can estimate the width of the garment while a person was wearing it. When the original owner, we suspect that somebody is lying here, and really it is not their object, but rather they can just give the identifying trademarks. We suspect that a thief or a dishonest person could estimate the width of the garment when somebody is wearing it. This, after all, is easy to estimate. The length is more difficult to estimate because it is much longer, first of all, and it is on both the front and back of the person. So if one person gives the length and the other gives the width, we would give it to the one that gives us the length. Let's say one person gives both the length and the width, and another one gave the weight of the garment. We give it to the one that gave the exact weight. They are both in general also simanim uvakim as defined in Halacha Hey, but mishkala, the weight, is more difficult to estimate than either of the other two, or both of them together even, and therefore we give it to the one that gave the weight. Let's say one person gave both the length and the width, and another one gave the length of the edge of the garment, the border of the garment. In this case, we give it to the one that estimated for us the length and the width, or rather gave us the exact size of the length and width, because it is easier to estimate the Imri Yeshabah than the Archa Barachpa. This is the general principle in the Halacha. Wherever we have a stronger proof within the category of Simanim Uvakim itself, we give it to the one which is more difficult to estimate. In the beginning of the Perek, the Rambam explained that the one that finds the object is responsible to announce that he has found something. Now the Rambam goes into the details of how the announcements are actually made. If you remember, at the end of Halacha Aleph, the Rambam said that outside Yerushalayim there was a large stone on which they would make the announcements. What exactly did they say? Halacha Ches. Burishena, originally, which is to contrast with the Halacha Test, which will say what the situation is after the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. But in the beginning, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Kol Misha Motza Aveda, anyone that found a lost object, Hoyamachriz Olea Shleisha Regolim, would make the announce at all three of the holidays, the three Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, when every Jew is required to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Regel Rishon, Eimer Rishon. When he made the announcement about on the first Yom Tov, he would say, Rishon, this is the first announcement I'm making. He would say, I found a watch, and this is Rishon, this is the first. Sheni, Omer Sheni. And when it came the second holiday, he would say the second. Because let's say a person is not sure if they lost this object. Before claiming the object, they would like to go home, see whether the object is there, and then they will come back. But it is a great difficulty to come all the way to Yerushalayim. So what they established was a system, whereas when a person comes for Pesach, for example, and hears there is a lost object, he will go home, see, and if the object is missing, the next time he comes to Yerushalayim, which would be the next Yom Tov, he will come to claim his object, and he will not have to make a special trip. Therefore, we must let them know which one this is, which announcement it is, in order that they should be able to come back before the object is unclaimable. So therefore, the first time the announced Rishon, the second time Sheni. Shlishi Machristam. When it comes to the third and final time, they make the announcement without saying any number. Kadesh lo yischalif le Sheni b'shlishi. In order that people should not confuse Sheni b'shlishi. Sheni and Shlishi sound similar. They both start with a Shin and end with a Yud. And therefore, if a person heard Shlishi and thought it was Sheni, he would think he'd have another Yom Tov. But in reality, this is the last time it's going to be announced. This is the last Yom Tov. And if he waits until the following Yom Tov, it's already going to be gone. There no longer will an announcement be made. So therefore, when he hears nothing being said, he realizes that he must go immediately home to check and see if the lost object is missing, if it is still missing, and then he will come back to claim the object. And therefore, v'achar regel acharin, Ha'acharon, b'shivas yomim, and after this last of the third yomim tevim, 7 days later, machris pam revis, he makes his fourth announcement, k'desh yeleh hashameya lebeisei b'shlesh yomim, that the person that hears will be able to take the three-day journey, an average of a three-day journey to his house. V'yemashesh es keilov, he will look among his objects for this object. V'yachzeh b'shlesh yomim, and he will make the three-day trip in return. V'yimtzeh ha'machris, machris b'shvi, and he will find the one making the announcement, who is now announcing on the seventh day after Yom Tov, and then he will be able to claim his object. Halachates. However, Mishachar of Vesa Mikdash, after the temple was destroyed, Hiskino Shiyuhu Machrisim Babotik Nisiyus Babotim Midrashes. Our sages established that one should make these announcements in the shuls and in the study halls in the yeshivas. Since this is the place, these are the places where people are more commonly found, since the Beis HaMikdash was now destroyed. Misharabu ha'ansin, nosin, however, as time went on, and violent people became more prevalent, va'omru ha'metziya shel melechi, and they claimed that any lost object automatically belonged to the king. And if they would hear this announcement made in the shul, the yeshiva, they would immediately notify the king, and the king would take the object, and the original owner would not get it back. Then hiskinu shiyei meidiyah l'shchina v'lum yudah v'dayeh. They established that one should merely notify one's neighbors and one's acquaintances, and this is sufficient. And the acquaintances, if they don't know who the owner is, they will tell other people until finally the word gets around privately. And the violent people that nosim will not find out that there is a lost object, and then it can come back to its original owner. Halacha yud. Let's say that he made his announcement, or as we said at the end of the last halacha, he notified his neighbors and acquaintances, and the owners did not come. What do you do then? Then he holds on to this lost object until Eliyahu Hanavi comes, for an indefinite period until Eliyahu comes, who will then evidently notify him who the owner of this object is. All the time that this lost object is in his possession, im nignava oyavda, if it is stolen or he loses it, chayev machriyusa, he is responsible for its value. The imnensa potter, on the other hand, if he lost it as due to something beyond his control, he was forced literally, such as he was underwent an armed robbery or something of the sort, then he is exempt for its value. Shashemer aveda kashemer socherhu, because as one that is guarding an object is just like a paid watchman. There's a difference between the responsibility of a paid watchman and an unpaid watchman. Someone that is watching an object for free is exempt not only in the case of Aines, but also in Gneva and Aveda, even if it was stolen or he lost it. However, a person guarding a lost object is not looked upon as an unpaid watchman. It is as if he is receiving payment. And the law of a Shemer Socher is that he is responsible if it is stolen or it is lost. But this person is not receiving any money, and when he returns the lost object, he will not receive anything. Why should we consider him a paid watchman? Since he is doing a mitzvah by guarding this object, and he is occupied already in a mitzvah, therefore he is exempt from any other mitzvahs as long as he is occupied in taking care of this object. So let's say, for example, he is in the middle of caring for the object in a way that he cannot do two things at the same time. As we will see later, that one must care for the object. One must shake out a garment to keep it from getting moths or getting rotten or with fungus or something of the sort. And so too, as we will see in the following halachas, that one must care for the object. In such a case, he is exempt from giving charity to this poor person if he cannot do both at once. So therefore, since he is gaining money, practically speaking, as a result of his keeping this object, he is considered like a shemer sachar, a paid watchman, and he is responsible even for theft or loss. The Rambam now discusses what one must do in order to properly care for the lost object, and in which way, if any, one is allowed to utilize the lost object. Halacha Yud Aleph. V'tzarei lavaker es haveda ulabotka. One is required to look at the lost article and inspect it. Kadei shalatifsar v'ta'aved me'aleha. In order that it should not lose value and become literally lost or destroyed by itself, that it should decay. Shenamar v'ashevesei lei. The pasuk says that you shall return it to him, meaning rei heyach teshivenu lei. See in what condition it will be returned to him. In other words, see that the whole object in its completion should be returned to him. Ketzad, for example, Matzak Sus Shel Tzemer, one found a garment of wool. Menaira Achas L'Shleishim Yeim, one should shank it out once in 30 days, apparently to keep from moths from building up. V'lo Yinarenu B'Makil, however, one shall not should not shake it out using a stick, as one would sometimes do. With a dirty or dusty garment, because when hitting it with a stick, it could possibly tear. So too, you should not do it with two individuals, each one holding an end of the garment, because when two people shake it out, they might do it too strongly and rip the garment. One is allowed to spread this garment out on a bed, however, only letzarka for the necessity of the garment. Avolei letzarka uletzarke. Not if it's needed for the garment and for him also. In other words, if he needs something to cover the bed, for sure he's not allowed to use this object to cover it. If it's only for the purpose of preserving the lost object, then certainly he must do it. If the garment needs it, and he needs it, the Gemara discusses this question and does not decide an answer, and therefore the Rambam goes to the strict side and says one must not utilize the object. And furthermore, nizdanu le'orchim, let's say a person had guests. Guests came to his house. Lo yitshachenu b'fneim v'afil l'tzorka. One should not spread it out before them. V'afil l'tzorka, even for the purpose of the garment. That even though normally one is not only allowed but required for the good of the garment to spread it out for an airing, if one just got visitors, one is not allowed to. Shema tigne, maybe it's going to be stolen. Since there are people there that are not normally in the house, you're putting this garment or this article of bedding at risk since there are unknown people in the house. Therefore, one is forbidden from doing so. Halacha Yud Beis. Matzah Kli Eitz. If someone found a wooden object, Mishtamish Behen Kadesh Lo Yirkovu, one must utilize them in order that they should not rot away, since a wooden object, if not used, will rot. Kli Nechashes. If one found a copper vessel, Mishtamish Behen Bachamin, one is allowed to use it with hot water. However, one is not allowed to put it directly on a fire, since the fire grinds away at the copper, meaning where it is put in contact with the fire, it will take away part of the vessel. It will eliminate some of the metal. Kli kesef, and one finds a silver object. Mishtamish behen, but seinin, avolei bechamin. One can use it only with cold, but not with anything hot, even hot water. Mipnei shemashchiron, since heat causes the silver to turn black. Mosa magreifes v'kardumeis, if one found a rakes or axes, yishtamish behen barach, avolei bekosha. One can use it with soft wood, but not with soft things, such as soft wood, but not with anything hard. Mipnei shemafchison, because also it will decrease the size of the object that will wear out the axe or the rake. Matzah kli zav, v'kli zchuchis, v'ksus shel pishton. If one finds a gold objects or glass objects, or a garment made out of flax of linen, one may not touch them until Eliyahu Hanavi comes, meaning they are not allowed to be aired out or utilized. The Alter Rebbe mentions in Shulchan Aruch that kli zchuchis, glass, one must not use because one might break it. And the other two, the gold vessels and those of flax or linen, will not become ruined anyway. Therefore, there is no excuse to touch them whatsoever. And just like we say, one must take care of the object if it is a lost object, so too we say in an entrusted object, that its owners went away to the other side of the sea. If the owner is in town, one is not required to care for the object. The owner can do that. But if the owner has gone away, the watchman is required to take care of the object. Halacha Yud Gimel, Motzah Svarim, if one found Svarim, literally books, but in this case apparently referring to the books of the days of the Gemara, which were written as we would have a Megillah today, they were written on a scroll. Kaira Behen Achas L'Shleishim Yeim, one is allowed to read it once every 30 days. Because again, the Megillah needs to be aired out. V'im eina yedeya likreis, if one doesn't know how to read, geilan kol shleishim yeim, you have to make sure you roll and re-roll the scroll every 30 days again to air it out. U'la'eimun layilma behen lechatchila. However, you should never learn it at lechatchila. For there are various interpretations of lechatchila. One could understand it to mean lechatchila, to learn it for the first time. That if one is learning for the first time, it will take a longer time, and the person will have to more closely inspect and study the work, and therefore he might come to do damage to it. One could also interpret lechatchila as meaning one opens this sefer in order to read it. He doesn't open it up in order to, with the intention of airing it out and reading it in the process, since he has it open anyway, that he opens it up in order to read it. Certainly he should not read one of the portions and then repeat the portion to go over it. So too he cannot read the parsha once and translate it. And so too one should not open it more than three columns at a time. And two people should not be reading in two separate places in the same scroll simultaneously. Perhaps one will pull from one side, the other one will pull from the other side, and the scroll will fall apart. However, they are allowed to both study simultaneously if they are studying the same thing. However, three people cannot learn simultaneously even if they are learning the same section. With three people hovering and crowding around the sefer at the same time, it is much more possible for damage to occur. Halacha Yudalit, Motzah Tfilin, if a person finds tefillin, sham de mehen umanichan alav, you can calculate the value of the tefillin, and then evidently set aside money for the tefillin, and then wear them, place the tefillin. Shadavar motzi hu biyad hakel, because this is something easily found by everyone. Everyone is able to obtain tefillin. Ve'ein asuyin el mitzvesin bilvad. These tefillin were only made to have the mitzvah done with them. And the person, we would not say the person is specifically cares for this particular type of tefillin, or this particular pair of tefillin. Tefillin, we say, are tefillin. It's made for the mitzvah. And therefore, one would not mind if someone puts aside the value of the tefillin and uses your pair of tefillin, since one is normally not particular about such a thing. Which is not the case with other lost objects. One might specifically want that object back, and not only the value of the object. Halacha Tesvav, Matzah Davar Sheish Baruach Chayim, he found something alive. Sharei Tzarech Lachilei, that he has to eat in order to have it survive. So it depends what he found. Im Hoye Davar Sheisa Ve'eichel, if it's something that can do something to work, and it will also, and then he will be able to feed it. Kegein Parav Achamer, for example, a cow or a donkey. Metapul Behen Shneim Asar Chedesh, he is required to take care of them for 12 months. Miyema Metziah, from the day that he found them, v'seicharon, and he can hire them out during that time period. V'lekeachscharon, he will take the money that is gained from renting them out. U'machilon, he will take this money to buy food, and therefore he will keep them alive. V'im hayescharon yeser alechilason, if the money he makes is more than it costs to feed them, harei hayeser labaylim, the profit goes to the original owners. The kenatan negelin, and so too chickens, female chickens, meicher beitzein u'machilon kol shnei maser chedesh. He can sell their eggs and use the profit, the the return from the eggs in order to feed them again for 12 months. Mikan ve'elach. But from then on, we do not require them to continue taking care of them for free. Sham demayin alav. He makes a calculation of their worth upon himself, and he figures out what it's worth. Varehein shalai v'shal bailim b'shutfis. They belong both to him and the owner in a partnership, kedin kol hasham behema mechavere, like the law of anyone who makes who estimates the value of an animal in order to go into a partnership with his friend. That over here, if he determines the animal is worth $500, then he will go into a partnership to agree to invest that much money in the animal, and then he will take it upon himself to share the profits, if there are losses, to share the losses, and so on. Halacha tezayin, motza golim besayochim shel rei, if he found calves, young cows, or sayochim, young donkeys, and they are shel rei, they are big enough to take care of themselves and feed themselves. So they are not... as good as finding a donkey. This way they can be hired out and gain money to feed themselves. Here they can take care of themselves, but they're not quite as profitable. Matapo ben shleisha chadashim. He is required to take care of them only for 3 months. Veshel bria, if they are incapable of even feeding themselves, the one must feed them in the house. Shleishim yaim. He must take care of them for 30 days. Avazim v'tarnagelim gedalim. If he has male grown-up ducks or chickens, matapul ben shleishim yim. So too, he must care for them only for 30 days. Motza ketanim, but if he finds young chickens who are very difficult and unprofitable to take care of, and so too, v'kolta v'shep tipule meruba mischore, anything else that taking care of them is more expensive than one can get for them, matapul ben shleisha yomim. Take care of them, you are required only to take care of them for 3 days. Mikan ve'eloch meichrim bebezdin, and thereafter one sells them in the presence of the Jewish court to make sure the deal is fair, that the owner is getting enough money. And then when he comes to claim his chickens, you'll give him back the amount of money which you sold them for. Became Peter's Hilula Harkiv, and so too fruit which has begun to rot, or something similar, which certainly it's pointless to take care of them at that point. Mochrim bebezdin, one must sell it in the presence of the Jewish court. Yud Zion, let's say he has sold it, now he's holding on to this money. Ma yase bedamim. What do we do with this money? The court instructs him to sell the objects or the animals. What does he do with the money? Yinosnu lameitza. The court gives the money to the one that found the object. The yesh lo reshus lishtamish behen. And he has the permission to utilize this money for his own purposes. That since he invested some time in taking care of these animals, certainly the original owner would not mind if he at least gets benefit of this money in the time period before he reclaims it. However, this puts him not in the category of a shemer sachar, a paid watchman, as we mentioned previously. In Halacha Yud, this makes him a shayel. He is now borrowing this money. He is using it for his own purposes. And therefore, he is not only, the law is that a shemer sachar is exempt in the case of theft or loss, but not in the case where he's forced. Whereas a person that's borrowing something is responsible even in the case of Einus, if he's forced. Lefichach im nensu, therefore in this case, if he is forced, kegein shetarf and gaius, that he was attacked by an army, or tovu biyam, or the money sank together with him in the sea, he lost the money, which is a case of Einus, chayiv l'shalim, he is required to repay the money, since he has the law of a borrower. V'afo pishul nishtamish ben, and even if he did not utilize the money, shekivin sheyesh l'reshus lishtamish ben, since he has the permission to utilize them, harehein etzlo kashayla, they are in the category of a loan, as far as he is concerned, he is fully responsible for them. Even though he didn't use it, he wants to look at himself as a shemer sacher, since he had the ability to use it, he is looked upon as a shayel. Yudches, b'med varim amurim, but when does this apply that he is looked at as a borrower? Because he is allowed to use the money, b'demeha veda hoyel v'nitfuba. With the money he gained as a result of this lost object, which was given to him as a result of his care. Abu Masa Veda, money which was lost. In the first case, we're speaking about an Alacha Yud Zayin. The object was lost, and he turned it in for money. But now, Abu Masa Veda, if what was lost was money, lo yishtamish b'en, he's not allowed to utilize it. And lefichach him avdu ba'aynes poter. If he loses it through no fault of his own, through aynes, through being forced, he is exempt. Sharehu, say, He is like a paid watchman, as we discussed in Halacha Yud, and therefore he is exempt in a case of einus, and is responsible only if it was stolen or he lost them. Halacha Yates. Call Eisen Hayamim Shematapel Ba Veda. All the time, all of these days that he is taking care of the lost object, Kedem Shim Karenu Ba Bezdin, before he sells it in court, Imechilan Mishalei, if he feeds the animals out of his own pocket, he must pay for their food. Natal min habailim, he can recover this money from the owners. He can say how much it costs to feed them, and then he gives them back the money that he sold the animals for, which the Bezdin determined, and he also can claim, he will give an amount how much money he spent for food, and he can claim this from the owners. The Yirali, it appears to me, says the Rambam, Shunetel Blei Shvua, that he can take even without an oath, although it would be appropriate in such a case, to apply a rabbinic oath, since he is taking money, and the owners have no idea how much it actually costs. The Rambam says, we do not make him take an oath in order to regain the money, Mipnei Tikkun Ha'Elam, in order to make the world a settled place, literally, which, as the Rambam will explain in the next halacha, to ensure people will involve themselves in picking up the lost object and not be afraid that they'll have to take shvuas, oaths later on in order to regain their money. The final halacha of the perek, halacha chaf. Hametzim Metziah, someone that finds a lost object, lo yishpa, he does not have to swear as to the amount of what he found, mipnei tikkun ha'olam, and again, as a result of tikkun ha'olam, to make the world a settled place. And as the Rambam now explains, she'im ata'emer yishaveya, if we say that he is required to take an oath, yaniach ha'metziah v'haylech, he'll leave the lost object there, and he'll go away. What does he have to bother himself to pick up this lost object? And then he'll have to take an oath. He'll rather leave it there, kadesh lo yishaveya, in order not to take the oath. Because anyone would want to avoid taking an oath, even though he knows it's true. Why should he get himself involved, and then force himself to take an oath? And afilu matzakis, even if he found a wallet, v'ton bala matziah, and the one that claims the lost object has a very strong claim against him. What does he say? That it is impossible that this person that found it should not be a thief. Sheshnei kisim kshurim hayu. That really they were two different wallets that were tied together. The ef sheshim sha'echad. And it's impossible that you should find only one of them. Unless you found the other one tied together with it. They were tied together in such a way that you can only find two and not one. And the one that claimed it, that found it, claims that there was only one. And the owner says that this is impossible. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, the one that found it does not have to take an oath that he found only this one, that means b'nei tikkun ha'olam, in order to make the world a settled place, and people should take care of each other's lost objects and not be afraid of being forced into an oath. We allow this to take place without any shvuah.